know, that's a good sentiment to start the, and thought to start the day with. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches over His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now
I got to sing it. No, I don't think so. But you know, when all things are going wrong, we just remember who's on the throne. Who's going to wrap it all up in the end? And we on the winning team. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So glad that you've joined us today, whether you're here in the service or whether you're in the parking lot or whether you're on the website. It's good to come and worship the Lord together. And we're so pleased that you've chosen to join us as we celebrate Jesus, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, before we pray, let me do a commercial. Those of you that have already seen the newsletter and read it know that I talked a little bit about Ukraine and praying for that situation. And also, pretty near the end, I mentioned the fact that the Lord may lead some of you to want to help financially with those who are refugees and those who've been injured and other things like that. And I use the word help through a legitimate organization. And I know that I've already seen some things on TV, and it's also a good time for folks to try to scam you. And people will send money that goes straight into somebody's Cadillac. But there's at least two good places you can help. One is our North Carolina Baptist on mission. We already help them every year when we give our North Carolina mission offering in September. And up on the table here in front, you'll find a paper that talks about what North Carolina Baptists have been doing in Ukraine since 1994. And it brings it on up to what they're doing now and what they're going to be doing. And there's a place in on the second sheet where you can give by check to North Baptist on Mission, post office box, carry, and just put Ukraine in, on that. And they'll be thrilled to get it. The other place is Samaritan's Purse. Now, somehow or another, my computer wouldn't download what I wanted to download and bring it, but you can look up Samaritan's Purse. If you've seen on TV, they're already sending a field hospital with doctors and nurses to go and minister to folks that are injured and hurting. I was also told that they were sending 600,000 shoeboxes. Now, you've seen the statistics that I have that over 1 million people have escaped, half of them kids. And they show these people with these little bitty dinky suitcases and then said, you know, one per family. And then they show the kid with a stuffed dog or some other animal. Can you imagine how these kids are going to be excited when somebody hands them a shoebox? And you know, maybe some of the shoeboxes you put together this last year. I don't know. I know they put them, we think of it as a Christmas thing, but there are folks that putting shoeboxes together all year long. So if you want to give to the Samaritan's Purse, you can look that up. Just put Ukraine on it. If you want to give through the North Carolina Baptist, pick up one of these sheets and read what they're doing and what they're going to be doing. I've got some relatives that have been. I've got some good friends that have been to Ukraine over the last number of years. And one person I talked to said, well, they're giving to both. I thought, well, okay, you got the money, give to both. Samaritan's Purse and to the North Carolina Baptist own mission. But I just wanted you to know, because I don't want you, if you feel led to give, don't do it where it might go down a rat hole. Do it somewhere it's going to really make a difference. Okay? Commercial's over. Now let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house. It's good to come and worship you. It's good to have fun. And just to remember, Jesus is Lord. Oh, you're so good to us, Lord. And Father, as we bow before you this morning, we do lift up those people in the Ukraine. Oh, Father, what suffering. What suffering. We lift up the people in Russia that don't want this war, don't like this war. Some of them don't know anything about the war, don't even believe that there is a war. Father, I pray for the Spirit of God to be at work in this situation. Lord, I don't know all that's going on, but Lord, I know that we need your presence. And I pray that you'll do some things that only you can do, things that will bring honor and glory to you. I pray for protection for people like the doctors and nurses with Samaritan's Purse. For others who are going to minister, I pray that you'll give them guidance and wisdom to know how to do exactly what needs to be done. Lord, I pray for the needs of our own congregation. You know what our needs are. You know what our situation is. You know each heart, each life. And so, Father, may your Spirit of God, your Holy Spirit, just come and let your presence be felt, your touch be known, your love be experienced as we worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Before I say anything, I need to say thank you. Thank you to Lionel and to Rita for filling in for me last Sunday. Allowed me to, Don and I, to go visit our son on his 50th birthday. And kind of makes you feel older when you have 50, something about that 50 rings a bell. But anyway, thank you all for doing that. Now, let's do this. As another month has passed, and now we have a new month of March, and let's remember the birthdays for the month of March. And so here are the birthdays for March. Will High, March the 7th. Shirley Morton, March the 14th. Bertie Hatley, March the 19th. Wesley Barbie, March the 19th. Jeremy Barbie, March the 21st. Carol Kelly, March the 23rd. Michael Barbie, March the 24th. And then Marvin Meggs, it's March the 13th. Are there those that I may have missed? All right. If you'll get, what? Oh, yes, Miss Rosina. Who? You're the 16th? Okay, we'll get that corrected. Okay, Rosina. Let's remember Rosina, March the 16th. Okay, all right. All right, 39 again. Hey, that's easy. That's easy, isn't it? Right. Well, you don't look a day over that, so it's all right. So there you go. Hey, said that right, didn't I? All right. Anybody else? All right, Brenda, give me a key, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And I don't believe we have any anniversaries for the month of March unless someone's got one that I've overlooked. All right, let's continue on in worship this morning as we have our hymn sing for today. We're going to have faith in God is the name of the song we're going to sing, and it's verses 1, 2, and 4. It'll be on the screen or page 405. Wait a minute. I got it wrong. It's the next one. Turn a right. Take a right. It's 406, Solid Rock. That's right. You're exactly right. I had the wrong one down. I'll do that sometime. Everyone stand. 1, 2, and 4, Solid Rock.
Jesus' blood and righteousness.
someone this morning, please. All right, I have some announcements for you this morning as we look at our things upcoming. And we want to give you an update. We have a fine update on the Pregnancy Resource Center. And the final was $890, which I think that's wonderful. Yes, sir. Absolutely. The Baptist Men, now Jeff, you may want to speak to this. The Baptist Men will have a retreat on March the 25th and 27th. And we hope all of you can attend, men and boys. We'd love to have you come and be with us. Jeff, you want to speak to that?
That's it. You got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, as we enter the month of March and then April, we're asking the Lord of how to support the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. That's coming up. Let's remember that. And we always do a wonderful job there as well, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And also the spring food drive. Yes. Pardon me?
I got a video.
Oh, you got a video? You do have it. Okay. All right. Go ahead and show that, and then we'll talk about the spring food drive.
We live in a Christian nation. That's what some people say. Maybe that's why they often ask, why do we need missionaries here?
There are places in North America where there are very few churches.
People are very open to conversation, but 9 times out of 10, they have not heard of Jesus.
There is no pastors, there is no people can share the gospel with them.
There's lives that can be made whole with the gospel.
And we're watching God change people's hearts and change people's lives.
But I wish people knew how many more laborers we need in the mission field, because it's more than we can handle.
Church planting is hard. We just got to work together. We can do more together than we can do apart.
We need all the help that we can get, and that's what Annie does. It allows for more laborers to come here.
The Annie Armstrong Easter offering unites us all, big and little, young and old, black and white. We all give because we know that when we do, our communities will look more like this. And we all give because we know there's a name and a face on the other side of that gift.
This offering, this gift that we're giving to and that everyone else is giving to, it does have a face. It's my face. This is the body. This is the body of Christ. That's what Annie Armstrong means to me.
Thank you, Jeff. And certainly it is. It's a home. It's a mission, a home offering. A home, so let's get behind it like we always do. Also coming up in the spring, we have the spring food drive for the North Carolina Baptist Children's Home, and we always get behind that, and what a great cause that is, and I think we have supported that so well over the years. All right, are there any announcements that I may have overlooked? All right, if there's no further announcements, we will go into our prayer request. And Carol called and gave some good news, and it's a praise report for Anna Frick. She had her most recent scans, and all of them cancer-free. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. So, okay. Let's remember the Ted Parker family. And now the pastor, if you read the newsletter, you'll see he went into a quite extensive request for the people of Ukraine. Not only that, but you talked about the enemies too. And let's remember that maybe God can control them and touch their heart. But I know he can. Let's remember the people there. And we've already talked about that this morning. The pastor has brought into the view this morning what these people are going through with. And it just makes me be thankful for where we are today. And so that's what we need to keep it up. So, and then let's remember Rita. Kenny took Rita to the hospital this morning with chest pains when she was breathing and when she took deep breaths. So we're praying. Yes.
I got a text from Kenny a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Says they did find a reason for her pain. They will try to medicate. They're waiting on one test to make sure it's nothing to do with her heart, but she should come home today.
Okay.
And we need to remember Stacy.
the power of text. But anyway, all right. Where do you go from there, David? I mean, all right. But let's remember Stacy. And it sounds like we better remember David, too.
Yeah, he's been a good character.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's very true. So that's good news about Rita. Thank God for that. It's not cardiac, and I'm so happy to hear that. Let's remember Kenny also. Kenny's got some surgery coming up, I believe, next week. And so let's remember him as well. And then Betty asked this morning that we remember Winter Davis, as Winter is getting close to childbirth, and let's remember her, that God will bless them as they continue on. And then Stacy, as we have. Are there others that I may have overlooked this morning?
I've got a great nephew. His wife is going to bring us a little boy.
Okay.
The 22nd of this month.
Okay. What's her name?
Oh.
What great nephew. Well, God knows all about it.
Jonathan is his name.
All right. Jonathan's.
Okay. And he's got something wrong with him. When I saw him a couple weeks ago, I would not have known my nephew. He has lost so much weight, he can't eat certain foods. And they put lights down in him, but they haven't found nothing yet. So pray that God will.
Is this Jonathan you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
You know Bobby that comes in Tammy's restaurant, the little short guy?
Yes, Bobby, yeah.
Okay. This past week, they thought he had a massive heart attack, but it wasn't a massive heart attack, but his heart did stop, and they had to give him CPR, which they broke several ribs, so he's still in the hospital.
Okay. All right. Anywhere else? Yes, Grant. You look strong this morning. Yep. Good. I've got some heavy lifting later, so that's the reason I said that. No, I'm teasing. It's good to have you back, Grant. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, this Lord's Day, that we can assemble together today, Lord, and to worship your name. And then, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we do as you've asked us to do. As we come to you as our Father, as we come to you as our strength, and remembering that you're the awesome God that you are. And, Lord, we have asked a special blessing upon our service today as we continue on today, Lord. And then we pray for Pastor Ed as he'll be coming forward as well. Our music today, we pray a special blessing for it as well. But then, Lord, there are those among us that, Lord, are hurting. There are those among us, Lord, who have lost loved ones and those that have surgery. And, Lord, I want to lift them up to you this morning. First, Lord, we do thank you for the praise reports that we get. And we praise the Lord and thank you, Lord, for the good news we receive from Angela. We pray for her. The Ted Parker family, we pray, Lord, for that family as they've lost their leader. And a great man he was. And we pray for the family this morning. We pray for all those in Ukraine this morning, those that are hurting, they're the family members, and Lord, the little children that we've been brought to our mind this morning, and the pictures that are in our mind, Lord, as we think about the suffering that must be going on there. Lord, I know there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bring this to an end. Bring this to an end, I pray. Thank you for the good news with Rita this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that she'll be okay. We pray for Kenny, Lord, as he goes forward for surgery. And then, Lord, for Winter Davis, as she is entering the time of her pregnancy to end and have that child, Lord, we pray for her that the child will be born safely and healthy. And then, Lord, as we go forward, Lord, we pray for Stacy as she continues to recuperate. And then, Lord, we pray for Jonathan, Betty's. We ask for be with him and be with the child that is about to be born in that family, and that we pray for them as well. Lord, we lift up our nation as a whole. And Lord, as we look at the price of fuel and all the things that we have before us today, we pray for America. We lift it up to it, our leaders. We pray for them all. We pray for our national leaders, our local leaders. And Lord, we ask that you would touch our nation, Lord. And these blessings now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we'll be very, very careful, Lord, to lift these up in your name as a Savior of all. These blessings I pray. Amen. Last Sunday, we did something new, and we're going to continue on with that in our praise music. And we're going to repeat one that was done last Sunday. I listened to it. By the way, I do listen to it on the web when I'm not here, so you just know I did do that. And I listened to it several times, and I love this song. And I think, so what I want to do is I want to get a special leader this morning up here and to lead this song. If there's one person in this congregation that loves praise music, it's Pamela. And y'all haven't noticed that, right? So Pamela, come up here, dear. I want you to lead this song this morning as we sing this song that we did last Sunday, Here Am I to Worship. And I thank Rita for introducing this song to our congregation. So Miss Pam, if you come, please.
Pamela, Lennox, Miss Brenda. To start this message, I ought to let Leonard play the ringtone on his phone. Yeah, you remember the old Andy Griffith show?
Yes.
And the sheriff's office. And on one side, there's the desk. On the other side, there were two jail cells. And every so often, there's, you know, Barney's strutting back and forth talking about his maximum security prison, worse than Alcatraz and Sing Sing and all of those places. And it's a joke. Because most of the time, hanging right between the cells was the key. And periodically, there'd be a show where Otis, the town drunk, would stagger in and he'd reach up there and get the key, and then he'd sort of fumble and unlock the door, put the key back, walk in, slam the door behind himself, get in the bed and sleep off his drunk. And then whatever length of time it took for him to sober up, you could see him sticking his hand through the bars and grabbing the key and unlocking and letting himself out. Now you see, Otis going to jail was his choice. He locked himself in. Otis getting out was his choice. He let himself out. He made the choice, in jail, out of jail. Now let's get serious. A lot of folks in the world, even some Christians, have made a conscious choice to put themselves in jail. It's of their own choosing. And they could just as easily let themselves out if they would so choose. And I don't know whether there's anybody I'm talking to here or out in the parking lot or on the website who fits that category. But I think as we go along in the message, it'll begin to click with you. We make a conscious choice to let ourselves in or to take ourselves out. Now, before we look at some of the jails that some people are in, let's look at the keys to getting out. Turn with me first to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This is one of those flip through your Bible sermons. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Jesus said, you stay in my word, you listen to what I have to say, I will teach you the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the truth of God's word that sets us free. Without God's word, we can't be free. You ever look in one of those odds and end drawers at your house and say, wonder what this key goes to? Don't have a clue what this key goes to. Or do you look and say, you know, I've got this padlock. Wonder where the key to it is. It's the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word that sets us free. Now to look at another scripture, look at the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." He says God's word is so powerful, so sharp, that it can help you understand what you're thinking, what your heart feels. The truth sets you free. God's word is the truth that sets you free. And God's word is a powerful instrument. It's like a laser. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but me, I'll be listening to somebody preach, or I'll be listening to somebody teach, or I'll be reading something in the scripture, and all of a sudden it's like, wow. The Holy Spirit just zaps me at a certain place, a certain thought. Because God's word is quick and powerful and sharp. Now to go on, go with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just getting started looking Bible, studying Bible verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul there saying that the word of God is so powerful that it can pull down strongholds, it can pull down prisons. It can open jail cells. It can bring our thought life into captivity so that we understand and we can obey the word of God. The key to getting out of jail emotionally and spiritually is the word of God. Knowing the word of God first, understanding the word of God, believing the word of God, and then applying the word of God. Now there are people who have heard the word of God, but they don't believe the word of God. And there are people that have heard the word of God and believe the word of God, but don't apply the word of God. You ever sit in a service and say, I hope she heard that. Hope he got that. Preacher's talking about him. When all the time, the Holy Spirit was saying, what's a little chorus say? It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know? The Holy Spirit's trying to deal with us. And we're pointing fingers everywhere. It's the word of God that we know, that we understand, that we believe, that we apply, that sets us free. Now for those of us who are here that have been believers for a long time, we ought to begin to know the word of God. Oh, we'll never learn it all. And there are times we learn some things and then we forget some things. And sometimes we go back and we start reading and say, you know, that was a great truth. That really blessed my life back in the 60s. Why did I quit doing that? The key to getting out is the Word of God. Now let's talk about a couple of prisons that some people put themselves in. The first is a prison of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Something is said, something is done, some event occurs, and there's hurt. There's pain. We feel like we were treated unfairly. And all of a sudden, something starts happening inside. Now at that point, we can choose to forgive or to harbor it. It's our choice. We can choose to put ourselves into the prison of unforgiveness or to stay out. But it's our choice. Sometimes the person that hurt us doesn't even know that they hurt us. Sometimes they didn't intend to hurt us. They didn't know that their tone of voice or the word that they used zapped us. Sometimes they knew it and they're sorry for it. Sometimes they're not sorry for it, and given a chance, they do it again. There's all kinds of things. Unfortunately, most of the time, the person that has hurt us, especially if they don't know it, they're just going along their merry way, you know. They don't know anything about it. In the meantime, every time we think about it, we start clenching our fists and clenching our teeth, and our face turns red and our blood pressure shoots up, and this little sick feeling gets in our stomach. And we lay awake at night stewing about it. I'll never forgive them if it's the last day of my life. You ever heard that? I have. And I know some people that lived into their 90s and it was their last. And, you know, I had some relatives that lived into their 90s. And they didn't forgive what happened back in the 30s. And they stewed over it for 60, 70 years. And if this person I know specifically I'm thinking about were still alive, I could dial my phone and dial them up and I say, what about so-and-so? And I could hear her explode in another state. You know? She stewed about it for 70 years. And we allow it to put us in prison of our own making. We've locked ourselves in because we have not forgiven. Now, forgiveness isn't always easy. And sometimes we have to forgive and then forgive again and then forgive again. And so let's look at some of those scriptures where Jesus talks about forgiveness. First, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is just taught on prayer. In verse 9, he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And part of that is verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Whichever word you want to put there for debts, trespasses, sins, doesn't matter, it's all the same thing. We're saying, Lord, in proportion to the way I forgive this person, you forgive me. When you put it that way, if I'm going to hold grudges and hatred and unforgiveness toward this person, I'm saying, now, Lord, you go ahead and don't forgive me. Don't just hold all of this against me. He goes on in verse 14 and says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now in your Bible, in my Bible, that's in red. That's Jesus talking. That's not Ed Louder talking. That's Jesus talking. He's saying, listen, if you want to live a life of cleanness and purity, and if you want to live a life where there's no barrier between you and the Heavenly Father, it starts with forgiveness. It starts with forgiveness. Now, going over to Matthew chapter 18 and start at verse 21. And this is one of those places where Jesus just blows you away. Verse 21 of chapter 18 of Matthew. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Peter thought, you know, I'm being real generous. On the eighth time, I'm going to clobber him. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Well, since seven is a perfect number in the Bible, that it doesn't say 490, it really means 490. And then on the 491st time, you get even. No, it's just saying, you just keep right on forgiving and keep right on forgiving and keep right on forgiving. Now, the Sunday school lesson that Ann taught this morning about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. You remember the love? I mean, he knew Peter was going to deny him, but yet he washed Peter's feet. He knew Judas was going to betray him, but he washed his feet. That's love. That is love. That is a forgiving spirit. Now, Jesus goes on in verse 23 of Matthew 18. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one of was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Something like millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him all that debt. Now that's generosity. That's forgiveness. Guy owes you millions of dollars. He can't pay it. He begs for mercy, and he's forgiven. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, you know, $40, $50. He's just been forgiven a debt in the millions. Now he finds somebody that owes him less than $100. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, said, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down in his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 30. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. He'd be forgiven millions, but he couldn't forgive less than 100. When his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me or asked me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth or angry, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was done unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts you forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. All in red, Jesus talking. Folks, don't allow the devil to talk you into putting yourself into a prison of unforgiveness. The concept there is, every one of us that are believers have been forgiven so much. All of us deserve to go to hell. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We all deserve hell. But we walked an aisle or somewhere or other and we said, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And he forgave us everything. Every sin we've already done, every sin we will do, he forgave it all. And then Jesus said, if I can forgive you of that much, surely you can forgive your brothers and sisters of what they have done against you. And when he says deliver to the tormentors, you know, the person who's locked themselves into the jail cell of unforgiveness is the kind of person that is tormented. They lay awake at night and stew over some hurt that may have happened last week, may have happened last month, may have happened 60 years ago. They just stew over it and stew over it and stew over it. They're tormented. She said, oh, don't do that. You say, well, but preacher, it's so hard. So hard. Yes, it is. And I think I've said this before, but there's sometimes I have to say, Lord, I know I need to forgive them. I don't even want to. So, Lord, help my want to. And then sometimes I say, Lord, I don't even want to. So, Lord, help my want to forgive them. And then about that time I just laugh and say, you're being silly, son. Just go ahead and forgive them. Just go ahead and forgive them and live at peace. And boy, you know, peace sure beats unforgiveness. To take the word of God and understand it and to reach out like Otis and grab that key and unlock that gate and get out of that jail of unforgiveness, that is so, so sweet. So, so sweet. So precious. And let's look at one other, the scripture on this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Well, let's go back to verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He's talking about, don't make the Holy Spirit that lives in you feel grief and pain. And then he tells us what we need to do to keep the Holy Spirit from feeling that way. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I couldn't say it any better than Paul did, or the Holy Spirit through Paul. Some folks, even some Christians, live many years with their in the jail of unforgiveness when they could be free. Let's talk about another jail, and that's the jail of fear. The jail of fear. Now, there's some things you need to be cautious about. Poisonous snakes, for example. Tainted food. There's some things we need to be concerned about. But how many people live in fear? Fear of growing old. Fear of being alone. People in their 20s that know that mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa all had cancer, heart attack, or something at 60, and they live for 40 years in fear that I'm going to get what mom and daddy, grandma, and grandpa had. And they can't enjoy all of those years when nothing was wrong with them. They just live in fear of all the possibilities of what could go wrong. Just live in fear, fear, fear. All the time they're afraid. Now, as I say, there's some things we need to be cautious about, but there's irrational fear that puts people in prison. They're trapped. And you know, there's a lot of things you can't control. How many of you can control the temperature tomorrow? Next week? How many control whether it rains or not tomorrow? There's some things you just can't control. There are things you can't control. If you live in a house, you can do the thermostat. But there are things you can't control. I mean, you may work for a company. And if the powers that be somewhere up in Michigan decide to close that company up and let everybody go. How much control do you have over that? Not one bit. So why worry about it? Do your job. Be a good employee. Be a productive employee. If the company closes, trust the Lord for a new position. Don't fret over it. I may not have a job tomorrow. Economy's bad. If they let somebody go, I'm going to be the first one. And we just live in fear. Let's look at just two scriptures. One, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18. 1 John 4, verse 18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He says, when you understand how much God loves you, how much God really loves you, how much God is caring for you, how much God is meeting your need, there's no reason to fear. No reason to fear. Says when you really dwell in the love of Christ, it does with your fear issues. Does it not work that way in little children? It's thundering and lightning and the house is shaking. And the kid comes and, Mama, Daddy, can I get in bed with you? Okay. Kid crawls up and gets between Mom and Daddy and goes to sleep. It doesn't matter how much the lightning and thundering and the house shaking is going on. That kid's at peace because they're in the love of Mom and Dad. How many times they come and crawl up in your lap when something is happening and your lap does away with their fear? They know that you're going to take care of them. And so it is that when we know the love of God, we know not to be afraid. And then go one Old Testament scripture, Psalm 91. And I'm going to read this whole psalm, 16 verses long. And there are people that read this every day. They read this every day. They meditate on it every day because it's a super fantastic scripture. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the fare of the snarler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, even 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Meditate on that. Learn that. Think about it. The psalmist saying, hey, when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I am protected. There's no need to be afraid because God is looking after me. We're going to look at one more, and this is in 3 John. 3 John. There are people, there are three other prisons. People are afraid of poverty, sickness, and not measuring up as a Christian. And there are enough verses throughout the Bible on all three of those for us to stay here for months. But John answers them all in one verse. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Amen. He says, I want you to walk in health. I want you to walk in prosperity. I want you to grow spiritually. That's the will of God for you. That's the will of God for you. Only you know your heart. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. If you're in a prison of your own making, use the Word of God to set yourself free. The devil will try his very best to keep you walking bound. He will try to build fortresses and strongholds in your life. But the Word of God is quick and powerful. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of those fortresses and strongholds. You can be free. You can be free. Not in your own strength, but in the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. And I pray that every person that's heard me today, whether here in the parking lot or on the website, we'll walk in freedom. God-given freedom through the power of His Word. As you learn it, as you know it, as you believe it, and as you apply it. Amen. Speaking it and doing it. Father, as we bow before you this morning, I pray that we walk in freedom. Father, anyone that's here that's in a prison of his or her own making, Lord, help them to realize they can be free. Lord, show them how to be free. Remind their heart of Scripture that would enable them to walk free before you. And Lord, I thank you for doing it. I thank you for making it possible. I thank you that we don't have to live our life bound over. Thank you for freedom that comes through Jesus. Oh, thank you for the freedom. Thank you that when we know the truth sets us free. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace in the name of Jesus. Amen.